This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina postgame show sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Got three people in the show tonight. Dewey Burke, regular, Taylor Vipolis joining us from Miami, right?
Correct.
Man, you can't beat that. Carolina 80-69 over NC State in a game that I don't know what I would call it, maybe disjointed a little bit, but Dewey, your overall thoughts?
Yeah, disjointed is a good way to put it. Choppy game. Obviously completely lost its rhythm when Smith got hurt for State, which you hate to see. Terrible call on Leakey, though, to be ejected, which we can get into if we so choose. But yeah, we didn't shoot it great. Neither did they. It was a little bit sloppy, but sometimes games that carry a lot of hype can be that way, where the actual product on the floor can be ugly. But I thought our kids played hard. Obviously, RJ was great in the first half, and Armando got going in the second. But not a lot of pretty basketball, but any win over State, you'll take it. And as the announcers kept talking about, we needed a quad one win, and we got one.
Yeah, indeed. And I think NC State's a good basketball team. You hate to see Smith get hurt there. I agree with you. You can't eject somebody for that foul. You can't. But whatever. Vip, your overall thoughts on the ballgame?
Yeah, I thought the first half, NC State did a pretty good job on Armando Bacot. They weren't really letting him catch the ball in low positions in the paint. And then in the second half, like Dewey mentioned, Armando really got going. He finishes with a stat line, 23 points, 18 rebounds. And I think the biggest takeaway from this game and this season really for me has been, like, I really don't want to normalize what Armando Bacot is doing out there. Like, the stat lines that he's putting up and his ability to kind of carry this North Carolina team is something that, you know, deserves a ton of credit. And then when you can pencil him in for almost 20 and 10 every night, to have somebody like RJ Davis go for 26 points, to have somebody like Caleb Love who could chip in with double figure scoring, like, this team, when all the pieces are playing like together, it is going to be a tough out for them once you get to the postseason.
Yeah, Dewey, let's talk about Armando at the gate. I mean, he needs to be discussed. We discuss him all the time. 23 and 18, like Vip said, he was 16-9 in the second half. He had a battle with big old DJ Burns, and we discussed it on the side chat a little bit. But just, I mean, you played with a guy that was guaranteed to give you 20 and 10 every night. And Armando breaks his rebounding record tonight for North Carolina. But just speak to that aspect of it. I mean, that is pretty much guaranteed 20 and 10 every night, and then everybody else can go do their thing. Or is it guaranteed? And this is just something that North Carolina fans need to realize is pretty daggone special.
It's rare air. I mean, and that's the point that Vip was making. You know, this is Sean May, Tyler Hansbrough, Billy Cunningham, obviously, Anton Jameson, like performance night in and night out. And that was a cool scene for him to get to break both those records at home. You love to see that. But it's what we've talked about all year, Tommy. It's he plays harder than anybody else he plays against in the post, and his effort level and his attentiveness to finding the ball. Some people have a knack for it and some don't. We've had tons of good bigs over the last 20 plus years and before that. And some just have a knack for the basketball, and the ball kind of finds him off the rim, and he fights and he scraps and he leans on guys. And, you know, it wasn't a flashy 20-16, just solid, reliable. You know, a couple nice finishes around the rim, shot pretty well from the free throw line. And yeah, he's just like Taylor said, you don't want to take it for granted. It's not like this is easy, but he sure makes it look that way.
He sure does. I mean, you look up 23-18, and yeah, he had a lot of rebounds, but he didn't look like he was working that hard when we know he is. And that's the amazing thing about the guy. I mean, we've been watching him for 4 years now. Vip, when you look at Armando's stats, I'll tell you what I thought was one of the best of the night. He was 7-for-7 from the free throw line. RJ Davis, 14-for-14. Caleb Love, 9-for-10. You shoot 37%, and you're putting yourself in danger of losing basketball games against good offensive teams. But then you turn around and you shoot that from the line, especially Armando. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I saw the NC State basketball account, their official account, was complaining about the foul calls at the end of the first half, but it was really a matchup of the team in the ACC that draws the most fouls in North Carolina versus the team in the ACC that commits the most fouls in NC State. So obviously that's going to be an advantage that plays into North Carolina's hands. You mentioned it. Carolina shoots 39 free throws, 36 of 39. When you're getting the contributions you get from Armando Bacot, and you're also getting 36 points from the free throw line, you're leaving yourselves a ton of room for error when, you know, if certain things don't fall, if certain outside shots don't fall, if North Carolina keeps attacking the basket with this kind of efficiency at the free throw line, like it's why I think people are optimistic about North Carolina as the season goes on. And I think it's one of the ways to try to get Caleb Love involved. Like if he shoots 3-of-14 in the state game, but when he's 9-for-10 from the free throw line, you know, he is aggressive getting to the line. And I think those are the shots that the Carolina fan base can live with him missing if he's attacking. It's more of those, you know, the heat check pulls from three that kind of drive the fan base crazy. But if he does just play this aggressive style, I don't think too many people would have a problem with that.
You're supposed to be hot first before you take a heat check shot, right?
Some people, yeah. I'll tell you, and Dewey, we talked about Caleb a lot, and I think midway the second half, he still didn't have a rebound. And that was what was a little bit, I don't know, it's got to be somewhat irritating to watch, even from Hubert's standpoint, is he wasn't shooting well, but he didn't have any rebounds, didn't have any assists. Well, he finished with 5 rebounds, and he got 9-of-10 free throws. Look, on the game, NC State was 12-for-12 from the free throw line. So what is my math is terrible, but that's like 48-for-51 from the line for both teams combined. That's got to be some sort of record. But do we speak to Love's play and then switch over to RJ's play? Two very different guys that Carolina equally needs.
Yeah, I thought Caleb, he stayed under control, which at times he has not. And he passed up a couple looks, even a few, honestly, that I wish he had shot. He had a couple catch and shoot opportunities that normally he would shoot it. And I was actually okay if he had shot it. But he's obviously struggling a little bit with his confidence from the perimeter and instead starting attacking the glass and being more aggressive. And when you attack the glass and you're more aggressive on offense, it's going to feed into the rest of the game. You're going to be a little more aggressive in on the defensive end. And obviously he got popped in the face, which he wasn't pleased with. So look, I don't know, it's the fourth podcast in a row. I maintain it's coming. I really just, I want to believe so badly that he's going to snap out of this funk and shoot the ball well. And the threes he missed in the first half, I really didn't think were forced. I thought they were, from a shot quality perspective, I thought they were fine. They weren't brutally challenging step backs late in the shot clock kind of thing, or really early in the possession heat check type shots, like Vip said. I thought his shot quality was fine. They're just not going down. He's just in one of those funks, and it's in your head. I mean, every time you catch it and you know that you might be shooting a three, it's in the back of your head. Like, what is this the one? Is this the one that's going to snap me out of it? I mean, I watched Wayne Ellington go through it, you know, I mean, and then he snapped out of it in that Miami game in whatever year that was. And he's one of the greatest shooters we've ever had. And Caleb is not one of the greatest shooters we've ever had. He's just struggling. And I maintain he's going to snap out of it. I really think he will. And then back to RJ, completely controlled the game in the first half. Obviously terrific from the free throw line. One thing we haven't talked about a lot, and then I'll throw it back to you guys, is that kid plays with a ton of confidence. I mean, RJ Davis believes in RJ Davis. And I think that is a big reason why at his size, he's able to rebound the way he does, finish at the rim the way he does, because he's not so explosive like Ty Lawson was. And he's not a big, big guard. He's very small. He's very light. But there's a toughness and a confidence there that he plays with that I think enables his ability to have no fear amongst the trees.
RJ's your guy, a New York guy, Taylor. And I don't know if you heard George Lynch today on Inside Carolina Live. He's kind of poo-pooing you New York guys a little bit. You need to listen to that. I even mentioned your name on it when he was doing it. but RJ, I mean, heart and soul of the team, right?
Yeah, just what you expect from a New York guard. You know, we have it coming with Ian Jackson. You can never recruit too many New York players, but he when things get rough for this North Carolina team, it feels like he's the guy that kind of steadies them. And you could check the splits. I'm pretty sure like the last 11 games, like when he was dealing with that dislocated finger earlier in the season, it was clearly throwing off his shot. But as he's had more time to kind of heal the last 11 games, I'm pretty sure his splits are somewhere near like 50-50, 85, and even higher now with the going 14 for 14 from the free throw line. But he does seem like you could already pencil in Armando. But for me, it seems like RJ Davis is kind of, the heart and soul for this team, who really can determine, you know, how high this team's ceiling is. And then when it comes to Caleb Love, I think him and RJ both share in that their confidence in themselves. The reason why I believe Caleb Love will turn it around, similar to Dewey believes, it's because I know every time Caleb Love shoots that ball, he has the confidence that it's going in. Dewey said he wasn't the best shooter in program history, but I really believe in Caleb Love's mind. He does think that he is that. So I think it's going to be something where North Carolina, I've seen some fans who are like, move Caleb Love to the bench or let's reduce Caleb Love's role. For this team to get back to where they got to last year, Caleb Love is going to have to play a massive part in that. And it's not going to be something like, you know, reduce his role, increase somebody's role and still get to that end destination. Like for Carolina to make it to a title game, they're going to need the best version of Caleb Love.
Absolutely. And somebody compared Love to Donald Williams. Don't do that. That's some recency bias there. Go back and watch Donald Williams and what he was able to do before he got hurt, especially in the 93 Final Four that they honored today. Dewey, let's talk about, and folks will listen to the Inside Carolina postgame show, Johnny T-shirt and all that good stuff. They've got the jerseys too. They wanted us to mention they've got the women's and men's jerseys there at Johnny T-shirt. So check them out and get that 10% off. But Dewey, let's talk about team defense. I thought State was aggressive, overly aggressive in the first half. I thought they were kind of taking it to Carolina. Yes, Carolina led by one, but State shot 46% in the first half. They shot 38% in the second half. What did you see differently that they were doing Other than just ramping up the effort to deal with NC State, we discussed the DJ Burns defense, and I still think playing behind that guy is just a bucket. But defensive side of the ball, I think that's where Carolina won this game.
Yeah, look, anytime you hold a team under 70, you feel like you did your job on the defensive end, and obviously did it the last 8 minutes without our best defender in Leakey, but they were also without their best scorer. So obviously canceled each other out, or in some sense was a hit to both teams. I thought we were better in the second half defensively, except for on the high pick and roll. I thought that we didn't do a great job. You know, their little point guard made three or four or five 15, 18 footers off a ball screen that I didn't think our bigs did a good enough job of coming up to contest. Obviously, Armando's, you know, in foul trouble. He didn't want to get himself involved in a potential fourth early in the half, which I get. But outside of that, I thought our ball pressure was solid. RJ was picking up 94 feet the whole game, which should have worn them down. They don't have a lot of scoring options also. And so Smith goes out, you feel good about your chances to keep him at arm's length. They kept throwing it into the big guy. Obviously, you and I, we were texting about this. My contention was just play him straight up 1-1. I'm not convinced he can score 30 and have enough points that it overall impacts the game enough for them to win. I know he had that little flurry where he scored a couple in the row, but in the first half, as we were saying, they were doubling him and leaving shooters, and he was skilled enough to find the open guys, and they made some threes. We didn't do that in the second half. We just played him straight up. Pete had some good possessions, at least giving Armando a break. And obviously, look, State was without their best player. That has to be said. So was our defense a little better in the second half? Yeah, I think so. But they didn't have their engine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let me ask you a question, and Vip, you can chime in too. What are you supposed to do, Dewey, defensively against that guy? And Pete Nance said it. I would have been barking at the ball-headed white ref the whole time. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to defend that type player if they're not going to allow you just to straight body him up?
Yeah. And you obviously, you said in the text, fronting him would have been an option. The challenge with that is if you don't have good ball pressure, that over-the-top pass is very simple and it's a bucket. Right. And so you rely on your teammates to have ball pressure to not have an easy entry pass over the top or easy high low in that scenario. To me, he obviously very strong and very heavy and can just back you down. But I just didn't see that he was explosive enough that he could score enough points to ultimately make a difference. How you guard him, you know, it's a it's instinctive when somebody is banging on you to put both your hands up. And as soon as you put both your hands up, they whistle for you for a foul. And so surprisingly, none of our guys tried to take one of those hits in the chest and fall down and buy that charge that you can buy in college basketball today. That actually is surprising to me, because if ever there was a guy you're guarding that does have the weight and the strength to knock you over like you got shot by a sniper, that would have been the guy. And yet we never did it, which is interesting. So yeah, look, you maybe try to take a charge, maybe pull the chair out from under him to get him off balance, maybe front him every, I think you mix it up. Clearly in the first half, doubling was not the answer, but look, playing him straight up, I know he scored 18 points, but I think it was fine how we guarded him. I didn't have a huge problem.
Yeah. I like how they man up and play defense. I don't like the flopping and falling down. Now
I hate it. I'm just surprised they didn't do it.
Yeah, I was too. And I was afraid that was coming from the smaller of the two bigs for NC State against Baycott. I was waiting for him to pick up his fourth with that type call. Go ahead, Vip. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Baycott went out in that first half, I didn't have a problem with Carolina doubling the post. It was just they, when they were rotating and they're scrambling, it felt like they didn't know, who they couldn't leave on the scouting report. Like, Morcell is like a 44% three-point shooter. And you just have to know, like, that's a guy you can't really help off of. So I think it was more of, it wasn't the doubling as much as the IQ in the scramble that I had a problem with. And I also, it feels like NC State always has somebody with like this body type who is just like the biggest guy out there on the floor. It was
BJ Anya.
BJ Anya the year before. Like, NC State's got to lead the country in this body type of a player.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, he's the guy, and he may make some money someday playing basketball overseas or whatever, but he's the guy that you show up at the Y and you see this guy and he's put on some weight, he's gotten older, and he just destroys everybody out there. And you're like, who is this guy? Vip, speak to the defensive effort overall. I really like, and Dunn got 17 minutes, and a lot of that came when Leakey got released from his obligations by the officials tonight. I thought Dunn did well on the defensive end. How are you feeling about this Carolina's defensive squad? I think Caleb buys in on the defensive end. This team's a lot better on that end and overall.
Yeah, when you get a more engaged Caleb Love on the offensive end, I think his defense just naturally picks up. I think the defense still has a ton of room for potential. I think when they are pressing and they have the chance to speed teams up, they're going to look a lot better. It's just, do they have the depth to be able to pick up 94 feet? And I think the answer to that right now is a pretty resounding no. When you don't really get a ton of bench contributions, or when you do get bench contributions, it kind of fluctuates who the contributions are coming from on a game by game basis. So I think defensively they do have a ton of room, but it really starts with RJ and Caleb and how they're guarding on the perimeter. Because for the most part, you know what Mondo and Leakey are going to give you. And then Pete is just another big body, and Pete might not get, the blocks, but for his presence in the post, I do think he does alter a good amount of shots.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic. Let me get some questions. You've got a question in chat. We're going a little bit longer since we've got Vip and Dewey Burke joining me here on the Inside Carolina post game. I'm going to throw up a question for you, Dewey. It looks like we all can answer it. What do you think about the current rotations? More bench playing time needed? I've said all along, and I'll get my uneducated thought out, Hubert plays matchups more than any coach has at North Carolina, and we've talked about this a lot. But, Dewey, what do you think of those rotations? It's working at times, and it's a little different. There's not much rhyme or reason other than matchups, but where are you with that? Coming from Roy Williams' system, and we've seen that for, if you include Dean Smith, forever.
Yeah, look, I'm absolutely a proponent specifically earlier in the season of giving guys a little bit more leash and giving them time to make mistakes and learn and get comfortable out there. I think it's really hard to be able to consistently contribute when you don't know if you're going to play and you can't prepare yourself mentally to, I know I'm going to play X. So if you're Dontrez or you're Seth, I think it's like Seth didn't play in this, hardly played in the second half. How much did he play in the second half?
I don't remember him out there, but I'll check.
What yeah. And so
none.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so look, I'm a proponent of early in the season, getting guys reps so that they're comfortable later in the season. But the reality is we didn't do that last year and we didn't do that this year. That's just not how he seems to rotate players. Now, the last couple games, you've seen him put Dontrez early into the game. Obviously, DeMarco's been playing more since he got back from being hurt. Puff was out again. So you've had some injuries. But if it's playing matchups, perhaps, Tommy, if that's what he's thinking. But to me, it comes down to trust. And these guys would be playing more minutes if he trusted them more. And it's a harsh thing to say, but I also think it's a reality. To me, when you see things like guys going down and Justin McCoy getting a bunch of minutes ahead of Dontrez, who clearly has a higher ceiling, is a much better athlete, he's younger, he's explosive. Why? Why is that happening? Well, it's because whatever's going on in practice has not led Hubert to say, Dontrez has got to be in there. He's a difference maker for us. And so that's the harsh truth. But if these guys haven't earned his trust, he's going to play his juniors, seniors, and fifth-year seniors 37 minutes. He's just going to keep doing it until somebody earns more trust. That's just what I think.
Yeah, looking at the box, somebody said Trimble came in at the very end, and I will freely admit I did not see the last 10 seconds or 20 seconds because I was getting ready to do this. But according to the box, Love, 20 minutes. Davis, 20 minutes. Nance, 20 minutes. Baycott, 19 minutes. And he came out right there at the end. What do you think, Vip? What do you think about the rotations? I agree with Dewey 100%, and I've tried to tell people. Hubert Davis is going to play who he thinks can win the ball game, period. And if you're a guy, if you're a fan of a certain player and you want to see them out there on the floor, well, you got to trust that Hubert Davis is going to play them if he helps them win above somebody that would have to sit. What do you think, Vip?
Yeah, the feel I get, I completely agree with the both of you. The feel I get is that he's rotating guys in right now to see, you know, who could bring what. But once you get towards, like, the end of the season, like that Duke game and going into the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, the sense I feel or the sense I get from this North Carolina team is that he's going to go back to that, like, Iron Five type mentality, because at the end of the day, those five are going to give North Carolina the best chance to win, and nobody from that bench group has really separated themselves. But I also can see the other side of the coin, where this is something that me and Justin Jackson talked about in our last Up in the Rafters podcast, and something that Justin has had to adjust to in the NBA. Like, when you don't have the chance to play through your mistakes, it's, like, really hard to get in the flow of a game. And I think that's what you're seeing with Dontrez Styles, with DeMarco Dunn, with Seth Trimble, where they're coming in spot minutes and they're expected to contribute, you know, at a certain level. But when you can't work through your mistakes, or you have a short leash, or it's just hard to get in the flow of a game, you know, it takes, like, a special type of person to be that, like, sixth, seventh guy off a bench and just be able to get hot. And I don't know if Carolina is going to have the bench contributions to make a deep tournament run. And that's kind of why I'm of the opinion that it's going to take an Iron Five type mentality again.
Yeah.
I'd also add our best bench player was hurt. He didn't play today.
Yeah. Puff Johnson out with I think they said knee soreness in there. Somebody asking Chad about defending the post. And we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. Charlie Shaw, if you want to go back and check that out, if you don't get that from that answer, I will ask Dewey about it again. Anything left, guys? Carolina, 36-5 in the last 41 against North Carolina State. Shout out to Brian Ives since 2003, 2004.
It's embarrassing.
It's pretty rough. Are you surprised, Dewey? Given the level of disdain that you guys in that group chat have for NC State, are you surprised at 36-5 over the last 41? Serious question.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, that is surprising. You know, it was funny. Wes said on our group chat last night that he talked to Coach on the phone last night. And before they hung up, Coach said, "Hey, I just got two numbers for you." And I think he said 34-5. That was my record against State. That's how they ended the phone call. So when the man at the top, 2 years out, is still reciting his record against State in a call with one of his former players, it gives you an understanding of how the program has always felt, at least under Coach Williams, how the program has always felt about NC State. So, yeah, embarrassing for them, that's for sure.
It'll be interesting when they go back to Raleigh. Vip, closing thoughts.
Just how embarrassing those numbers are for NC State. And just knowing through, like, the back channels of how much Coach Williams kind of despises that team over there in Raleigh, like Dewey said, it really isn't surprising, and something that it seems like Coach Davis is kind of picking off where Roy left off. But I think it is going to be a battle when you go to Raleigh. Winning on the road is tough, especially in the ACC.
Unless they don't have Smith, right?
Yeah.
If Marcus Ginyard texted from the arena and said he had a big cast on his arm. So I don't know if he broke his wrist or broke his elbow when he fell, but that could be what happened. If that's the case, he's out. You know, he's out three months, kind of thing. So agree with you. That's going to be always a hostile, crazy environment. But without him, they're not much.
They can't compete. Yeah,
no, they shouldn't.
A couple numbers, plus minus, if you're so inclined to believe the plus minus are the be-all, end-all, which I am not. Love, plus 17, all the way down to Trimble, minus 5. And then the Davis Love and Black trio was plus 12. Some interesting numbers from the game. Armando Bacot sets the record. Tyler Hansbrough has got every record in the North Carolina book, it almost seems like. Well, not anymore. Rebound record is now Armando Bacot. Dewey Burt, Taylor Vipolis, Johnny T-Shirt, and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Anything left, boys, before we get out of here on the 36th win against 5 losses against North Carolina State? We good?
Good.
Shout out to the 370 that joined us for the Inside Carolina Live postgame podcast. Check out all the content from Adam Smith and everybody on the ground, Ross Martin on the ground, and from the Dean Dome. We'll be back.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.